The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Scripture lesson for this morning is from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Here ends the reading for this morning's scripture. May the Lord add his blessing on these words.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars speak of these first three chapters of Ephesians as a high and lofty theological statement. Some of them say it's deep and esoteric, almost poetic. They go on to say that the next three chapters, while still lofty, deal more with the practical aspects of daily living as a follower of Jesus. Marion Swords talks about this passage slightly differently, saying that part and parcel, the passage is seeking to remind people of their faith needing to be in action, and that they are called and claimed by the grace and mercy of Christ. The theme of totality of Ephesians, these six chapters, is cosmic reconciliation, that the author, presumed to be Paul, is saying that we are reconciled to God only through Christ. That is, that justification by faith through grace that Paul talks about even more pointedly in Romans. Dr. Laura Sweat, in an article for Homiletics magazine, that's a desperate preacher's guide for those of you who don't know it, in an article on this very passage in 2009, titled The Visibility Cloak, that hence my title, talks about the poetic language and likens it to the magical language of Harry Potter. And if you, those of you who are fans, will remember that Harry Potter had the invisibility cloak as opposed to the visibility cloak. And when he was in a tight spot, he could just cloak himself and become invisible. And then Dr. Sweat talks about it in terms of, wouldn't we like that ourselves? Now, who among us who had said some dumb thing in public wouldn't like to become invisible? You're asked a question that there's no right answer for. Just cloak yourself in invisibility. Something happens, and you'd like to be invisible, but it doesn't work that way, and that is why Paul reminds us of our humanity and our need to be visible. Dr. Sweat goes on in the article to talk about a marriage, if you will, between science, technology, and the military to save military lives. They're developing technologies which allow service personnel to virtually be invisible. The light reflects on other things rather than on them. And this is more akin to what Paul is talking about. He says in one of his writings, not quite this in modern parlance, but I've used this as a sermon title, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about reflecting the light of Jesus as followers. Part of what we mistake in the church is we think, well, we're a member, that must mean we're Christian. That's not how it works. Anybody can join a Christian church. What makes us uniquely Christian isn't the United Methodist Church, it's following the ways of the Master. It's understanding the way and work and wonder of Jesus. That's what makes us Christian. And you've heard already in this service that I'm an institutional guy, in the words of Morgan Freeman. I signed on to an institution, but I am Christian first. I happen to be United Methodist. I don't know the full attribution of this, but I heard Dr. Tom Warmer, a now retired minister friend of mine, say these words, and they could be original to him, but I don't know that. The church is not a stained glass foxhole. I like that, because we do that. We hide in the church. The church is not a stained glass foxhole. Rather, it is a garden in which we are called to grow and bloom. And that is the claim and call of grace and mercy. And that ultimately is the claim of our faith. If we are actively growing and learning as people of faith, we ought to be blooming and growing. To be sure, we're going to have some false starts. There are going to be those times we do wish we were invisible. But in the end, we ought to be growing and blooming. Our brother Paul is saying as much. Remember your flaws, but remember God's work in Jesus that is in you. So the question of the day, the question of our lives of faith, how are we going to be visible? And that doesn't mean we have to grab our Bible and go out and grab people on the corner by the collar and ask if they know Jesus. Especially in Los Angeles, that might get us in trouble. But we can act in ways that allow people to know that they're loved. I had the opposite experience in terms of I thought I was doing a good thing and somebody did something wonderful for me. I was over at 7-Eleven the other day and, you know, what is it? It might be 500 steps from here, but it's light years away. Frequently there's somebody there who is asking for spare change. And I confess that I'm one of those people that usually does that. I know I tell you not to give people spare change. But I did even more. I took out my wallet and took out a couple of dollars. But I've learned from somebody else. I always ask the person their name and then endeavor to look them in the eye as best I can and tell them, life won't always be like this. You will be able to help someone, so please do that. And this young man asked me for spare change. I gave him a couple of dollars. I said, tell me your name. He said, my name is Mike. And I said those words, Mike, life won't always be this hard. And we chatted just a couple of minutes. And then I thought, you know, he had a cell phone and he appeared to be texting. Maybe he was a college student doing a study. I don't know. I really don't. But here's what he said to me, which reminded me of that notion of the magical language and the visibility cloak. Mike looked back at me as I was leaving and said, God bless you. It's not always us that is delivering. Sometimes we have to allow the gift to come to us. I don't know that I'll ever see that man again. But he gave me a gift. And that is what we need to be aware of as believers. We don't have to save the world. That's God's job. We are called to do what we can when we can. I did not stage this, but Jim opened the door, and I'm going to walk through it. Jeff or Ken or I, say a version of your Wesley rule that you shared. And I love that one because it's more complicated and eloquent. But I paraphrased this 12 years ago when Wesley came here. And we say this every Monday. And because I'm going to do this, I normally say it without notes, but I'll mess it up otherwise. In mind and heart, with head and hand, may we learn to do all the good we can in all the ways we can for all the days we can, whenever we can. This is our prayer. That is our claim and call. Now, in the words of Bob Seger, who I like, he would say, bop till you drop. And I think that's what we're called to do. We're called, while we draw breath, while we're on our feet, to be at it as best we can in the name of love. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.